You're saying that like it's a problem or a point of contention or something? Because, I mean, I just think it's called basking in the limelight.
Oh, you are correct. The limelight of the win against Mississippi State.
That's why I had such a problem with the people that were talking about the realistic nature of going to a bowl game and stuff before the Mississippi State win, because at that point you had one.
Mm-hmm.
You needed five more. I still feel like it's a little premature, because I still feel like it's kind of far-fetched, because you only have two wins.
That's right.
So you need four more. You got Alabama still left to play. So, yeah, I mean, you know, that's you have to look at the positives of the season. Mississippi State was a great positive, much more so than UT Chattanooga.
Mississippi State's a better team than Chattanooga. Didn't look that much better, but it obviously much
but
better.
That was so we'll get defense.
We'll get to that. Tennessee deserves a lot of credit from the win 5 days ago. This is Sports 180. We'll have an update for you on Tennessee starting quarterback who suffered a head injury 5 days ago. Could he play? Could he start against Alabama on Saturday night? Jeremy Pruitt with an update on that. We'll talk a lot of Tennessee football moves in the NFL, Titans quarterback change, all of that. Here with you until 3 o'clock on Sports 180 as we begin the show taking a look around the sports world.
The biggest news, the main stories, the headlines that have everyone talking. It's time to take a look around the sports world. Presented by Payless Optical.
How about the Washington Nationals sweeping the St. Louis Cardinals and beating them up in each game? The Nationals on to the World Series. What a run it's been in the postseason so far.
This has just been amazing. They are wearing the badge of, man, nobody's expecting us to do anything. They are wearing that proudly and just taking scalps along with them. I mean, I didn't see the sweep of the Cardinals coming. I actually thought the Cards could even come back when they got down 2-0. That was silly, especially because this Cardinals team doesn't have Albert Pujols, but he's just like burned in my brain. But I'm rooting for the Nats.
Been gone a while. Yeah,
if the Astros don't make it to the World Series, if the Yankees somehow, you know, come out of the ALCS, I say somehow, they still have a great shot at coming out of the ALCS. I'm rooting for the Nats. I'll be wearing my red, white, and blue, man. Scherzer it up.
If it's Nats versus the Yankees?
Yankees, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because you can't root for the Yankees.
How come?
I don't like them.
Underdog story here.
Hey, they did. It's a great story. Survived a lot of injuries this whole season.
Yeah, they have. We will have to wait, though, to see if the Yankees can tie up the series. The Astros yesterday won. Of course they did. Gerrit Cole was on the mound. But today's game has been postponed. So no game four tonight. You'll get game four coming up tomorrow. Greinke versus Tanaka there. Be fully rested. So Astros go up 2-1. Yankees are a little frustrated. Get a little bit extra time to get ready for game four. A game that they really better win.
What about Gerrit Cole, too?
Holy smokes.
That guy was just amazing yesterday. Yeah. Bregman, he seemed a little ticked off when he got hit in the eighth inning. I think it was bottom of the eighth or top of the eighth that he got hit. So, yeah, he was not happy.
Yeah, congrats to Gerrit Cole on all the money that he'll be making as well. He's going to make a ton of money either way. He'll make more. Now, Joe Maddon's going to keep making a lot of money. He'll be the manager of the LA Angels. They've made that official.
Yeah, that seems to be like a script written in Hollywood, right? He's going to go to the Angels, and we'll see what they can do and if he can kind of elevate them. I would love to see the Angels do something with Mike Trout. I would love to see them do something with him.
Yeah. So what are you saying? We have Angels in the outfield, too? Is that what's coming out?
I would love it. I would love it. Question will be, do they release it in China or not?
I don't know the latest there. We'll find out. That's a fun situation. Nobody's being hypocritical with their thoughts either. The Tennessee Titans, Ryan Tannehill will get the start. Marcus Mariota to the bench.
Yeah, this is the weekend of the backups, it looks like, because there's a couple of other moves being made. But, you know, we kind of talked about it happening with him getting benched over the weekend. I don't know. I think you still let the season play out, and I think you still ride Mariota, bench him in games if he's playing terrible. But I think he's your do or die franchise guy until the season's over, right?
What do you think, Joel? Ryan Tannehill in as the starter, Marcus Mariota out.
I expected Tannehill to get the start this weekend. I mean, the last 10 quarters of football, you've scored 7 points. Last two games for Mariota have just been atrocious. And it's weird because in the past, we've always talked about he can't play an entire season because he can't stay healthy and he can't stop throwing interceptions. Well, going into the Denver game, he hadn't thrown a pick and he hadn't been injured. So, and it still wasn't enough. So I think it's just kind of that's who Mariota is. He's a guy that's going to try not to make major mistakes. but he's not going to make a ton of big plays, and his play is usually consistently going to be slightly below average, and it's not always going to be enough to win. So I kind of expected the move to be made this week.
Yeah, having not thrown an interception going into this past weekend, that was nice, but we'd be lying to ourselves if we said, yeah, Marcus Mariota was playing really well. Did you watch that Jacksonville game? I'm not saying you, I'm saying we collectively. If we're trying to use that to say, you know what, Mariota's playing just fine, that would be a lie. They have problems everywhere with the personnel, the offensive line, the coaching, and the quarterback.
I'm just kind of pointing out the two main facts that we've been saying about Mariota throughout his career. Those were the things that he appeared to correct, but that was it. There was nothing on top of that. It did not lead to an enhanced performance out on the field.
Yeah, it didn't lead to points.
Yeah, it didn't lead to points. And I think they've got an on-field personnel situation. You have receivers not getting open, not making catches in space. You have Mariota not hitting open receivers. The offensive line's not blocking. He's, you know, taken 150 sacks this season already. So I just think it's just been a whole offensive problem. And it's unfortunate because the defense is playing at a really high level.
Ryan Fitzpatrick back as the starter for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, how about Fitzmagic back at it? I still don't expect the Dolphins to do anything.
Of course not. Yeah. They go up against the Buffalo Bills, his former squad.
Yeah, and Buffalo, really good this season.
They have been good. Their defense, really tough. So Josh Rosen back to the bench, Ryan Fitzpatrick back to the starting line.
Isn't every team in the NFL Ryan Fitzpatrick's former team?
It seems that way.
What is the deal with... I've just lost my train of thought because that was really funny, Joel. That actually was. Sorry. It'll come back to me.
Okay.
I apologize.
Brian Maurer, will he come back to start at quarterback for Tennessee? According to Jeremy Pruitt, that is going to be a game time decision. He has been practicing. We don't see everything that happens at practice, but Jeremy Pruitt on the SEC coaches teleconference says it will be a game time decision on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. Truly. Let me ask y'all this. Is this gamesmanship so that Alabama just doesn't totally prepare for Jarrett Garantano to start? They have to like work on something else this week? Or is he truly going to play? Because that would just be so ridiculous to me. The guy has a concussion. He was concussed.
Right. Let's see. Like, is it truly a game time decision? I don't know. If he's cleared through concussion protocol Thursday or Friday, then they probably go ahead and make the decision before game time, right? Probably. Maybe not. Maybe they go out there and see how he does in warm-ups.
How much can he actually practice this week?
I don't know. We don't see. I mean, it's not like he's taking much contact, but again, no. we don't see. So it's not. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know exactly all that he's doing because that's not known.
I've had a concussion before, and the biggest things they wanted you to do were to, you know, not get stressed, not have a lot of light around you. They encouraged you to stay off your phone because of the light and how it interacts with your eyes and your brain. They just wanted you to take it easy. So is this guy really in the film room watching film? Is he being put in a position to really play if he's cleared? I have a lot of questions there are no answers. They're unanswerable questions at this point.
Well, he liked a tweet 33 minutes ago. So he's on his phone there. I'm guessing it's on his phone. Maybe he could have done it on a laptop.
Yeah.
Or a tablet.
But you get what I'm saying. You're supposed to be, like, resting.
Yeah, I get it. But Saturday afternoon, he was on the field for the second half. He was there with the team celebration. So we know that they didn't go shut him off into a dark room. And we know that he's been practicing. So we do know that. How much in all that he's doing day-to-day, I don't know. But I guess your typical thoughts of a guy that's dealing with a concussion, that has not been the case with Bryant.
Yeah. And I don't know why. Maybe he just got his bell rung, so to speak, and it wasn't truly what a concussion that I think of is.
Yeah. Jeremy Pruitt said it's a concussion. But getting your bell rung is something you say in 1996, or last week, I guess, about Riley Locklear. But he got a concussion, according to Tennessee's head coach.
Yeah. So, again, I didn't know that there are different treatment plans for everybody, and it seems like he's responding well.
Jameer Johnson back getting more work with Tennessee. There's a good chance I think he starts at left guard for Tennessee with Trey Smith on the right side, and that would bolster the offensive line even more. Tennessee's offensive line has made some really nice progress. It's not an elite group, but it's a better group for sure.
Yeah, and do we have any information on Locklear? Is he going to be available for this game, or most likely not, right? With Trey sliding over?
Yeah, we'll see, but I don't think he would start over Jahmyr Johnson.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point, too. Even though Jahmyr, obviously a little rusty, he's been out for a few weeks, but he was a guy that we were very high on, you know, going into the season. And, you know, hopefully he can just kind of step right in and be ready to go.
Jalen Ramsey traded to the LA Rams.
I was surprised by this.
Marcus Peters to Baltimore.
Seems a little desperate for the Rams, right?
Maybe so.
And how
gave up two first-rounders and a fourth.
Yeah, that's a lot for a guy that's a headache. So hopefully he can come in and they're actually competing for something in L.A. and be motivated. I feel like motivation is a big problem for him.
Can he play on the offensive line? Because that group has been a disaster this year.
No, I would say that's out of his realm of expertise.
I don't know if disaster is the right word, but it's not good. The U.S. soccer team losing to Canada last night.
Is this our men's?
Yeah. First time since 85.
If they
that's
get
diaper
paid,
time for Josh.
If they get paid a third of what the women make, that's ridiculous. They suck. That is terrible. They lost to Canada?
Yeah, not great.
Were they playing on an ice rink?
We've reversed. U.S. is where it's at in hockey now, right?
I know. This is a role reversal. Are they terrible, Joel? Or, I mean,
first time since 85 that Canada has beaten the U.S.
Oh, yeah, that's bad. That's a bad loss.
That's bad, eh?
You went a really long time without ever losing to Panama. And then that got, you know, that streak ended. And then eventually it was Panama that kind of ended your hopes of making the last World Cup. And now you've lost to Canada. I mean, it's not even just a matter of USA is slipping farther and farther down the wrong direction in terms of international relevancy. I mean, even in CONCACAF, in North America, Team USA, it's like they're not important anymore.
Around the sports world, very exciting times.
And they wonder why we can't jump on board, you know, football here in America.
Winning would help. Winning would help. A look around the sports world presented by Payless Optical. They can help you see better, and you can save a little money when you do that.
Yeah, they can't help the men's national team look better, but you would actually be seeing them better with the glasses from Payless Optical. Why pay more when you can pay less? That is their motto. They want you to get great frames, look great, and be able to see 20/20, all for a great price. Payless Optical is located on Kingston Pike behind O'Charley's in the TJ Maxx Shopping Center.
With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg here. We will talk more Tennessee football, Vols and Titans. A lot of Tennessee football talk as I guess we're gonna stick to the Mississippi State game. That was a big win for the Vols, no doubt, right, Heather?
Big win. Yeah. Big. It's going to be huge.
Had to have it. All right, we will come back here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the sports animal. Quarterback conversations are fun. Mike Vrabel meeting with the media today talking about the Ryan Tannehill move. It's not a controversy, I don't think, right now with Tennessee. It's just a matter of what is Maurer's status. I don't think what happened Saturday has a huge impact on next week when Tennessee plays South Carolina. Assuming Maurer's healthy next week, I would think that he is Tennessee's starting quarterback. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe it is Garantano. But right now there's the question of will Maurer be cleared to play on Saturday? And when would that clearance come? How much is he doing in practice? That's unknown. So it's more of just the uncertainty with his status for Saturday. If he had never suffered the injury this past weekend, I would think that we would already know Brian Maurer is the starter.
Are we missing?
Maybe not.
Are we not asking a big question? Because maybe this is like the mama bear in me, and this is the new perspective that I have now with two boys, one that looks interested in playing football. Should Brian Maurer be considered to play this weekend? Like, is that really in this guy's best interest to go to Alabama after suffering any sort of concussion? I don't care if he only had symptoms for a day or half a day or what, and go face the Alabama defense. Are we setting him up for success? If you're a member of the coaching staff making this decision.
What do you mean keeping him safe? Because what do you define by success going up against Bama?
I'm talking about long-term. Like, is this in his best interest?
So are you saying, is it safe for him to play? That's your question.
Yeah. Because, I mean, are you able to watch as much film as you need to? Or are you having any sort of, I don't know what kind of symptoms he's having. Or maybe he's not having any. Maybe I'm blowing, again, if I'm blowing this out of proportion and I'm being paranoid, then tell me. But I just don't know how you have what happened on Saturday happen, and then all of a sudden, oh, you're fine. Go play versus Alabama. that just kind of it just makes me say, whoa, let's pump the brakes here. Let's really discuss this.
Right. One issue is that we have this conversation without knowing what he's doing.
Yeah. And again,
it's top secret.
Yeah.
Over there. So we have this conversation without knowing the details of his activity. But I would say that if he is not fully participating in preparation for the week, it would not make a lot of sense to play him or start him, at least against mm-hmm. Alabama, if his preparation is negatively affected. If he is able to do essentially everything in preparation and then he's cleared, then it would make more sense to play him. But I don't know if that's the case, and I don't expect to find out.
Yeah. But like I said, these are all unanswerable questions. I mean, there are answers to them. We're just not ever going to get them. So right. That's why I put them in that category.
But you can also ask the question, because last year, I'm not sure that Jarrett Garantano should have been playing at the end of the season after he got knocked out against Missouri.
Yeah. I think that's a very valid point. So I don't know. I'm kind of like one.
I still don't know how much people care about this stuff. Concussions and head injuries and all that.
Well, I'm convinced players don't care about it until, like, way down the line. You know, 20 years from now, Brian Maurer could look back and be like, man, I probably shouldn't have played for, like, a couple of weeks. I don't know. But I do, until any sort of symptoms start bothering you, once you're done having the ability to either keep your scholarship or make money in the at the professional level, I think that's when people start caring.
I mean, Saturday, Brian Maurer, in front of everybody on national television, flips up in the air and lands on his head and stands up and grabs his neck. And play's not stopped, and he doesn't come out until the drive ends, and then he gets checked out. And then on Monday, Jeremy Pruitt reacted like it was a ridiculous question. And it was just simply a question. There was nothing accusatory toward Jeremy Pruitt in the question about, well, should he have been checked out before he was? And that question was asked knowing that he suffered a concussion. So that's why I say, I haven't heard much about it, so I don't know how much people care.
Yeah. I don't think they do. I think unless it's your kid, you're not going to care, right? I mean,
it hasn't been much of a topic on the show here the last couple of days. Has it, Joel, and on the Ainge show or other shows that you've, when you've been able to catch it? Because I have not. It's been talked about.
Eric and Brian discussed it briefly yesterday, and Brian mentioned there is supposed to be somebody, they're up in the booth or on the field, who is supposed to signal down and say, hey, it looks like this player got a concussion. But at the same time, when a player flips over, players flip over all the time. And so if you're up in the booth, you don't necessarily see the extent to how Brian Maurer landed. And maybe somebody should have been watching the replay or should have seen what exactly happened on the hit when he landed. But if he springs right back up and grabs his neck, then you know, maybe that's reason to pull him off. Maybe it's not. But we do see that where we see a whistle blow and we see a player sent off and the player doesn't want to go off, but they're being sent off because they need to be checked for a concussion. And we see players suffer concussions and come back and play the following week. I don't know what the right move is. I mean, I don't think it would be the end of the world for him to not play, obviously. But yeah, the discussion has not been carried very far, to answer your question.
I am honestly confused what a medical person is watching if they see him land on his head. Yes, people, it's football. They hit each other all the time, and heads do bang. This wasn't that. That's not what this was. Okay?
This is the quarterback, the guy that gets the ball.
So
yeah.
What is a person thinking? What's the thought process when you see him land on his head and it doesn't come to mind, wait a minute, that might not be a good thing? I was up there in the box. I saw it happen.
Yeah, because I would
and wondered immediately.
Yeah, I would put that honestly.
I'm not saying Jeremy. I don't know what Jeremy Pruitt saw exactly. Field level is different.
It's totally different. There's a lot more going on. Yeah.
Asking the question, hey, should something have happened, is not accusing Jeremy Pruitt of anything. But am I wrong there? Did people not see that happen live?
I mean, we all saw it. You saw it on TV.
Yeah. He wasn't in the middle of some kind of pile. He was running in the open field, right?
Yeah.
He had the ball in his hands. There wasn't a ball carrier on the other side of the field, and he got blocked by somebody on the other side, and nobody's watching him. I'm legitimately confused on this one.
I think you're right. I think
what are people doing up there in the booth?
Yeah, I think that's a really fair question. I think you're right. I think to a lot of people, seeing him spring up right away and appear to be all right, I just wonder if people thought, okay, we can play on.
So when he grabbed his neck, they thought he was okay?
It was just stretching.
Typically, you grab
stretching.
Your neck when you feel great. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you just got a massage. Yeah. It's normal.
Or not in pain enough to to warrant coming out of the game. I think you're right. I agree with you, but I just wonder.
Yeah.
So it's like you're searching for an answer to try and like, you're like, well, maybe they just blinked at the wrong time. I don't know.
When I see a player land like that, my concern was really for his neck. I was hoping that he didn't suffer a serious neck injury.
Sure.
When he popped back up, I kind of came to the conclusion that, okay, he didn't break his neck.
And he did talk trash to the Mississippi State defenders. So,
he totally did. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he stumbled handing the ball off in the next play. But, so to your question, I guess, to wrap up this segment, Heather, at the beginning, if Brian Maurer's not fully involved this week, it would not make as much sense to play him against Alabama's defense on the road.
Yeah, and again, and maybe I'm totally wrong here. I don't see how you can be... After suffering a concussion, I don't see how you can possibly prepare yourself to go take on the number one team in the country. It's not like you just have to play a hat. It's not like the UAB, like, oh, okay, come out, or Georgia State game. Come out, let's establish, you know, some chemistry, rock and roll. We'll have you out of there by mid-second quarter, right? I mean, he's going up against Alabama, and I just don't see how he would be able to prepare himself fully for that this week.
This isn't the NFL, though. This is college. They don't have to tell us what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is what it is. That's what I said. You just have to put it all under the unanswerable questions.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back. 656-9900 if you'd like to join the conversation as well. Brian Maurer, a game time decision Saturday, according to Jeremy Pruitt. Midday Sports Minute coming up for you as well, right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. We're having pathetic off-air conversations about the Grizzlies and Bulls with the NBA season a little less than a week away.
Just watch what you tweet, guys. Watch what you tweet.
You got to be careful out there. At @Josh_Ward if you'd like to follow me there. 656-9900 is the phone number.
Did you hear the story that Joel had in his sportscast? The Alabama student accused of making a bomb threat during the LSU-Florida game?
Yeah, how about this?
Because his buddy was on the verge of losing a huge bet. Is that his buddy or is that him?
The article didn't explain how the bomb threat was supposed to help the situation with the losing the bet. I don't know if they thought the game was going to be halted or whatever.
Yeah, probably. Like they would just call it or whatever.
Yeah,
how dumb.
It didn't work.
I wonder if he's star 67. Remember star 67? If you typed that in before you typed in your number, it came up unknown caller.
Yeah.
It was like caller
Connor
ID
Kroll,
blocker.
19 years old. Is he familiar with that kind of system?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I would imagine not. Now, I don't know what his TV watching is at this point with the streaming and all that. He's 19. But if he caught the episode of Seinfeld where George is needing an out, so he buzzes Jerry, and Jerry calls in to Yankee Stadium, he's he puts in a bomb threat.
Yeah, so what do you think he knows more about?
Then Jerry demanded the fitted caps for everybody at Yankee Stadium. That's what he should have done. That's the move.
This kid doesn't know about Seinfeld, and he doesn't know about Star 67. Let's concede both of our points.
I like to think Seinfeld, possibly. Star 67 completely out.
Connor Bruce Kroll.
God love him, because I don't think it was what it looked like, but this is JT Shrout trying to use a landline is what's happening here.
Oh, man. He was just trying to see if it was ringing.
I know he was.
Poor guy.
Still, though.
Still hilarious.
It's a great gif. Great gif. I'd be using that myself if I were him. So anyway, Connor Kroll arrested in Tuscaloosa by school police. On Sunday, investigators were able to trace the source of the call after receiving the bomb threat, saying that, quote, his friend was on the verge of losing a large bet in the LSU-Florida game.
How just silly.
Yeah.
Golly.
SEC just means more.
Especially, and this is going to bring in the whole, betting, online gambling. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
The world is ending. Did I take that too far? I thought it was pretty. I took it as far as this guy.
No, I was going to let it just hang out there.
Okay.
So you have SEC basketball media day going on as well. Yesterday we had the predictions come out. Tennessee picked to finish fifth in the SEC. CBS Sports put out its preseason All-American teams. Kerry Blackshear, the SEC Player of the Year pick, first team All-American by CBS Sports.
I saw on Twitter, and I'm going to UT Sports' website right now to look this up, But did you see the game notes? There was an actual picture of the game notes for John Fulkerson. Tom Sikoviak liked
it. Yeah, really gave him a zinger there.
Gave him a zinger on there. Makes makes questionable choices about facial hair. That was great.
Yeah.
So is that in the official game notes? I assume so, right?
Well, the bio notes that they put out. Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
That is just the best. Go Tom. I love this basketball team. It's standing by Rick Barnes yesterday, cutting our promos with our sister station, WVLT, our partner station. Rick is hilarious. And he was just zinging Jimmy Himes left and right. It was great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a program that they win. They have some fun.
Yeah, I like that.
It's okay to do both.
It is okay to do both. Sometimes, and I think Alabama is the standard because I'll never forget Nick Saban, them dumping that red Gatorade on his white shirt, and he just looked so mad at the world. And I was like, you just won what everybody wants, and you look mad right now. Like, he took all the fun out of football. He really did.
You think so?
Yeah. Him and Jerry Jones for me.
Nick Saban likes to have some fun. It's just kind of under the radar.
I don't think so. I think that's like his human stand-in because he's obviously a robot.
Well, did you catch Josh Jacobs, his appearance on Dan Patrick a few weeks ago?
No, I missed it.
Offering up a little story, a little backstory of the kinds of jokes that Nick Saban likes to tell in the practice field. Or I guess anywhere, but the story came from the practice field.
No, what was an example? Did he leave one? I'll have to go back and watch this. Hold on.
I don't know what I'm allowed to say. D's jokes was the punchline.
D's jokes. Okay.
You know where I'm going?
Yeah.
So, Nick Saban likes to have a little fun. He's been caught on video dancing a little bit.
Yeah, that was just in front of recruits. I think he has to do that, right?
Sure.
At this point.
Sure, yeah.
It's a dog and pony show.
That's part of it.
Who was on Dan Patrick again?
Josh Jacobs.
Okay. I'm looking this up.
Rookie of the year running back for the Oakland Raiders.
Rookie of the year.
Second team All-American, by the way, from CBS Sports, James Wiseman, freshman there at Memphis. Tennessee-Memphis game is going to be huge.
It's going to be amazing. I'm surprised it's not sold out
yet.
That's the one. We always hit up one of our buddies for some tickets.
Yeah.
And I was like, I felt like Kentucky was going to be a stretch because he took us to the Kentucky game last year. So I was like, ask for the Memphis.
Yeah, huge game.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be packed. I would imagine sold out when they actually play.
Yeah. Now, Memphis is going to have the better talent, I think, just on the court. Mm-hmm. If you're just looking at it on paper.
From an NBA draft standpoint, yeah. Absolutely.
But, I mean, obviously, Rick Barnes running circles around Penny with a dry erase board, I'll take that any day. So let's see what the great equalizer will be. I'm pumped.
Well, yeah, this is a big season for Penny to show what he can do. He hasn't had much of an opportunity. He's been a coach for 1 year at the college level, and he actually had a really good first year.
He did have a great first year.
Now he has a ton of talent, a lot of young talent. Let's see how he can put it together, which is easier said than done.
The question will be, does the team run out of the tunnel with balled up fists?
Yeah. That's part of it, because I think Penny did a good job as a coach last year. They were much improved from where they were the year before with Tubby Smith.
Yep.
But also, Penny is not hidden from talking a lot, not just with Tennessee, but nationally. And he's talked about going out and trying to win a national championship this year. And that can put a target on you, not only having the talent, but talking about it as well. But he's not afraid of that. So, I can't wait to see what happens. I think overall it's good for the sport. I would like to think that he would maybe do a few things differently with the Rick Barnes part of it. But I also think he was probably trying to light a fire under his team and didn't do it the best way. It's not the end of the world. It's not the biggest deal. It was a big story here. And that's why that game's going to be huge coming up in a couple of months. But overall for college basketball, it makes things more interesting.
Yeah, the fact that he brought up the quote-unquote incident up 3 weeks later, that was the only thing that stuck in my crawl. That and, fabricating that Tennessee players were walking over there with balled up fists. I mean, that was Richard Sherman-esque. Just made it up.
Not as Richard Sherman-esque with the Baker Mayfield thing, because we actually had a full video of a handshake that he said didn't happen. So, but anyway, Memphis, they're going to be something to watch this season. Can't wait for that Tennessee-Memphis game coming up in 2 months at Thompson Bowling Arena. We'll come back with the face-off presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center with Heather Harrington, Joel Silverberg. I'm Josh Ward. You're listening to The Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. FM 99.1, the sports animal. A lot of Tennessee football talk coming up from 1 until 2. How does Tennessee handle the quarterback situation? What does Tennessee need to do looking ahead to the second half of the schedule? We're going to have to look at some point there, Heather. Alabama and then games past it. We'll do that coming up starting at 1 o'clock here on Sports 180. Heather Harrington here. I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg producing for us as always as we hit today's face-off.
Let's go one-on-one with today's face-off.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man.
Presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock!
Alrighty, Joel, set us up here, please.
Are the Titans making the right move by starting Ryan Tannehill this week?
Sure, why not? I think this actually...
You sound so convincing.
I don't know that it really helps or makes a big difference this week or moving forward with this season. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little back and forth before the year ends. I think what it does is begins the process of moving on from Marcus Mariota long term. And at some point that's going to happen, and I would say that point comes at least by the end of the season.
I'm going to say this is premature. I mean, are you really just not going to play Marcus Mariota the rest of the season because you think Ryan Tannehill is going to give you a better shot to win? I mean, Marcus Mariota is your franchise guy through the rest of the season, and then you make a decision. If you have to bench him in a game, bench him in a game, but start him as a starter.
Have we given the Nationals enough of a chance to win the World Series?
We really haven't. And the fact that they took out the Dodgers, that should have maybe, like, woken all of us up to the possibility. But I don't think we even said in the second round that the Nationals were going to make it out of their series. So, yeah, I don't think we've given them enough credit, and I think they've got a great shot. They've kind of stacked pitching staff.
They are on fire. They can put up the runs, but that pitching staff, when you have guys like Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin that you know you can count on, you know you have a chance to go out there and win baseball games. So they've made it to the World Series at this point. They should be fresh going in. I don't think we've given them enough of a chance. We should heading into the final round.
Did the Rams give up too much to land Jalen Ramsey?
I'll say yes now, and that's not knowing if Jalen Ramsey's going to stay there. If he leaves, then absolutely you've made a mistake. Now, we'll see what happens with tagging and all that stuff, but two firsts, a fourth for corner. They have huge problems on the offensive line. They've given the big deal to Jared Goff. Ramsey's a terrific player, one of the best in the NFL, regardless of position, but I still think it's too much.
Yeah, it's way too much, and if this wasn't an auditory medium and this was a visual medium, I'd use the 100 emoji with three underlines because this is just ridiculous. This isn't going to solve your problems, and you gave up two first round picks for this guy. You're desperate. You reek of desperate, and I don't know how this helps your cause.
Who has been the most surprising player on Tennessee's football team so far this season?
I'm going to go good surprise, bad surprise. Bad surprise is Jarrett Guarantano. There is nobody else that would fit into that category. On the good surprise, I'm going to go with Henry Toa-Toa. I didn't think he was going to be this good as a true freshman and play this big of a role. We'll see how the rest of the season goes starting the second half of the Alabama game. But give me Henry Toa-Toa.
Comp out time because I don't know exactly which player to choose, but you need more than one. I'm going to go with the offensive line. I think it has really progressed nicely. I think it's going to be better as the season goes along, assuming health. If you deal with injuries, that can beat you up. But they're actually getting healthier, it looks like, with Jameer Johnson. So I'm going to say the offensive line, the pleasant surprise. Jared, easily the most disappointing.
Will the Lady Vols finish better than sixth in the SEC?
That's not going to get it done, Josh. They were picked sixth in the league. Only one player on the preseason all-SEC teams. One, Renaya Davis.
Little chip on the shoulder aspect here. So I will say yes, better than sixth in the SEC. Still enough talent to go out there and win some games. Let's see if the chemistry comes together. Had that overseas trip. That should help.
Yeah. I'm going to bet, and this is just me being biased. Yeah, they finished better than sixth. Would they finish better than fourth? I don't think so. We'll see what Kelly has in store for her first year. And good luck to her. But that just surprises me. I mean, used to, you'd have two first-round all-SEC players and maybe one or two second-team all-SEC players, and now you just have one being mentioned.
All right, Heather gets the win.
What was that you were saying about bias there, Heather?
Well, I'm biased because they should. It should be better than six. We're just talking about the Lady Vols here.
I was referencing a different bias with the choice of the winner in the face-off today. But hey, just throwing it out there. We are both biased, though, for Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. Traveled last night to Nashville, back this morning. Heather, it's kind of like money. You need to spend energy to get that energy back. So I need to get the workout in at Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. Maybe an extra couple of suicides there on that basketball court. Get your workout in on the racquetball court, tennis courts, inside and outside. That's really important now as it's starting to get cooler weather, especially early on.
Yep.
A little
rain
more difficult
today
to deal with. Absolutely. Inside tennis courts for you, 130 plus group fitness classes each week and complimentary childcare with the family membership at Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
And what I love is, you know, you see it right there on the front page of their website when you pull it up. Restart your fitness journey. It doesn't matter where you are at right now. Maybe life has come at you hard. You find yourself overweight, out of shape, and you're just ready to say enough. With over 130 different fitness class options, there's going to be something for you that you find and that you love and that fits into your schedule. And with the handy app that you put on your phone, you can actually reserve your spot in those classes. And then with the family members, it does just provide that extra layer of helping you achieve your workouts because you're not having to find a babysitter or go at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning or on your lunch hour. You can take your kids. They're well looked after and you're going to get a great workout in. So it's kind of like happiness for the whole family.
Try it out before you make the full commitment. Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center has a free 7-day trial membership available. Remember, it's month to month with no long-term contracts. Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. Call them up, 531-5000. Visit them online, fshfc.com. We have 2 hours of Sports 180 to go. Tennessee versus Alabama on Saturday. Late kickoff, 9 Eastern time, 8 local there in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We'll talk about it with David Ubbin from The Athletic. Thanks to TK Willer Jewelers coming up next on The Sports Animal.